Many have already mentioned that today is Father's Day. And I think rightly so that each of us that are fathers and grandfathers, we have a lot to live up to, a lot of responsibility. And from those responsibilities come great blessings. To each of you as fathers, I also say to each of you, appreciate so very, very much your leadership, your example, and pray God for many more years for you to serve your family and those round about you and the example that you lead. But if we're going to think about fathers, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is indeed the prime example of all fathers. And this morning we're going to be talking about grace. God's amazing grace. And I would just give the encouragement to each of us as fathers that all of the examples or all of the characteristics of God, as best we can to emulate, to be the kind of father He is. And certainly one of His greatest characteristics is His favor. This morning we want to talk about the grace of God and how great it really is. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we find beginning at verse 3, we find the great details of God's intention before the world was. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. There's lots of things that that passage tells us. But make sure we get this point about our Father. He wanted more children before He ever formed or created a single thing. And He chose to have more children through adoption. The sending of His Son, His only Son, as a sacrifice for us that we might become adopted children, is indeed a wonderful blessing. But the beauty that we see in this great text as well is that God has indeed put an eternal longing in our hearts so that this world does not satisfy. May I say, if the point becomes lost in the lesson today, when you're not happy, when you're truly unsatisfied with all that this life has to offer, just doesn't seem to get it for you. The one thing that God has put within each of us is that this world, its pleasures, the passing pleasures of a season. There is something that God has put within each of us is that we must search and long for Him. Because our Heavenly Father supplies for us what nothing or no one else can. I would hope that as a father, and even as a grandfather, that each of us can instill in our children a desire for the greater. But this world doesn't satisfy. That we don't emphasize this world. That we don't teach that this world is all that there is. That we emphasize what God emphasizes to us. The greatness of being able to be saved one day. When we talk about this idea of God's amazing grace, the word grace itself is a pretty interesting word. Way back in the secular Greek, this word just simply meant to rejoice. Back during Homer's time, yes, the Homer of the Iliad and the Odyssey, which would have been about 750 BC, to put that in biblical times, that's just before the time of the northern kingdom being destroyed by Assyria in 721. That would be during the time of Isaiah. Homer used the word, and it had to do then with sweetness or attractiveness. But then the Greek began to take on, or the Greek word began to take on the definition of favor, goodwill, and loving kindness. And this is the word that we find in the New Testament, grace, which simply means favor. And if you will, sweetness and attractiveness. What attracts us to our Father? His grace. Why are our children attracted to us? It should be grace. It should be our sweetness. Well, this word grace has even more of a significance when you consider another trait of our Heavenly Father, and that is His wrath. Our great God, who is so sweet and gives unto us favor, in contrast to His wrath because of sin. Before God created anything, He knew that when He created man, that man would sin. And because of His holiness, and because of His greatness, He would have a wrath, a judgment against any and all sin. So He knew that if He created man, they would sin. And so that He might not destroy everyone, His grace looked forward to the giving of His Son. When you think about the wrath of God, no one can escape. When you think about the grace of God, everyone is welcome. This morning, I want to read with you in Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11 through 14. And we're going to read that text together. And then we're going to go back and just generally dissect the passage to make sure that we understand our Father and His great, amazing grace. The text says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good deeds." Someone has rightly said that you can never preach too much about the grace of God. And I think that's true. I don't preach enough about it. I don't preach enough about His sweetness and His goodness. We need to hear that too. And it's important for us to understand in this great text that when we think about the grace of God, what is highlighted here is that it brings salvation. Because of God's wrath, yea, because of our sins, God's grace appeared, bringing salvation to all men. This morning, I would like for us to stop and consider, as we think about the cross of Christ, we are certainly here today to honor our Heavenly Father, to pay respects to Him. But yet, that's not just a special one day, but it's every day of our lives that we show appreciation to our Heavenly Father. And one of the great manifestations of the fact is that we all need God's amazing grace, because we all sin and fall short. We've all dishonored our Father. We have all at some point in time been rebellious against our Father. And He has not deserved in any shape, form, or fashion our attitude, our actions, our disobedience. Because all He has done for us is to give and to give and to give. And His wrath appears because we become ungrateful. We become unthankful for what we've been given. And therefore we treat Him in a wrong way. God is just and must punish sin. This is a great lesson for fathers. It's not just about being good and gracious and sweet. Children must learn that sin has a reward. The wages of sin is death. And may we suggest as fathers that we teach our children about right and wrong, and that there is penalty when there is wrong committed. But we also understand that there is grace and forgiveness and sweetness. For us as fathers, it's hard to really blend all that together as we should. Maybe we can be too harsh and too overbearing. We're warned. How we treat our sons and our daughters, that we not in any way provoke them to wrath. We want to make sure that we're not the ones that's causing them to act badly. Because our Heavenly Father does not do anything to cause us to act badly. But make no mistake about it, when we sin against God, there will be a judgment day. Our Heavenly Father is indeed a great and awesome God. And He decided before the foundations of the earth that He would give His only Son. Now imagine this. In heaven, God the Father and God the Son. And the Father, in His eternal planning, wanted to have more children through adoption. And because He knew that they would sin, He wanted to provide a way that they could be forgiven, and that His wrath would be turned away. He looked and He searched all that there was. And there was only one thing that would turn away His wrath, and that would be the death of His Son. We remembered that this morning. And the reason Jesus died on the cross is because of God's grace. He wanted to show us sweetness. He wanted to show us favor. But sin had to be paid for. That debt had to be paid. And the only payment that God would accept for that bill was the death of His Son. Call it what you will, but that's amazing grace. Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. Redeem? Pay the price from every lawless deed. and purify, make us holy for Himself, a people for His own possession, so that God could possess us, a special people for good works. Brother and sister in Christ, do you know how special you are to have an earthly father that loves you, teaches you spiritual things, takes care of you? Can you even begin to appreciate what your heavenly Father does for you? Fathers, if you want to be a good father, emulate your heavenly Father. Raising children is not all about don't do that and spank them. No. It's about amazing grace, about sweetness and favor, reward. We also understand from this great text that God's amazing grace was demonstrated through Christ. I think it was mentioned by someone early this morning about giving your son. Isaac, would you want to give your son for the sins of wicked people? I wouldn't want to give my son. But God gave His son. And Jesus left heaven for us. We're so wanting and desiring and have the hope of going to heaven. Can you imagine being in heaven and leaving heaven for this? Do you understand what sacrifice Jesus made? Let alone on the cross, but living in the flesh in this world. Now we may say this world is pretty good and we've got it good, and we do, but not in comparison to heaven. This world is nothing compared to heaven. But Jesus left that. So He demonstrates His love for us. Jesus paid that great penalty for sin. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Apostle Paul says it this way, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So let's make sure we get the principle. Did the Father know that we were sinners? Yes. Did we deserve His love? No. But what did our Father do for us anyway? Gave His Son. And as a result of the giving of that Son, that represents the Father's love to us. Now, how did that affect me? How did that affect you? Well, because of His great love that is demonstrated to us, we repent of our sins and we turn to Him. Fathers, be careful how you discipline your children. Do they deserve your grace? Probably not. Should you give it to them anyway? And what will be the reaction to a child that has shown grace? You see, the teaching of being a Christian starts with the earthly home. Children will learn the relationship of the Father to His children spiritually when they first see it demonstrated in the home. If you as a father are cruel and never show grace, they won't understand the Father. There are so many children that grow up in this world that all they have seen is bad and evil and sin. They don't know what love is. But see, our God is love. Do your children see that? In you as a father? When your children learn to appreciate that grace and that love, they will obey you. They will honor you and respect you. God's grace has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The fact that grace is available to all men is not to say that all men will be saved. And many misread that. The fact is, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." So let's make sure that we understand what the text is saying. The text is saying that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That text didn't say all men are saved. God brings the salvation. He brings His grace. It is available to everyone. But it saves conditionally. Most understand grace and salvation wrongly. Most look at the idea of grace being that which God bestows upon us regardless of what we say or do. And that is absolutely false. And how we know that is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 as an example. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Sometimes the way folks read that passage, "For by grace you have been saved," throw away "through faith." But yet, the Scripture says, "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." There is a passage that defines sweetness of our Father in regards to our receiving it and being saved. It's unmerited. God does not give His sweetness to those who don't want it. He does not give His sweetness to those who refuse it. He gives it to those who obey Him. When we stop to consider this amazing grace, God's amazing grace can save all men. It really can save all men. Many don't receive it because they haven't heard about it. Can you imagine all of the people in this world that just have not heard of God is love, God is sweetness, God is favorable, God is merciful, God is kind, and even though you have sinned heinously, you've committed every sin in the book, you know what they need to hear? God loves you anyway, and He'll forgive you. They've got to hear that. Can you imagine all the people in this world that have never heard the words spoken to them, "I love you"? Our Father says that through His Son, Jesus Christ. Some will not receive forgiveness because they won't listen to it. They don't want to hear it. Our country, our government, is becoming more humanistic, more atheistic, more antagonistic against God, the Bible, Christianity, truth. People don't want to hear about Jesus. God's grace is not extended and sins forgiven to people who won't listen. Neither is God's forgiveness extended to those who don't believe it. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, The Hebrew writer says this: although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. One of the great passages in all of the Bible is John 3:16. You know, and even this great passage is misquoted, misapplied. And I'd like to read it with you this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In this great passage, God's love is spoken. The giving of His Son, the demonstration of His love is spoken. But the fact that God wants us to believe it is also spoken. So the way many might read this passage would be, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that you might all have eternal life. And we forget about this: whoever believes in Him should not perish. Did you see that wrath of God in there too? Where did you see the wrath of God in John 3:16? Perish. You see, grace and wrath is in the greatest passage of the Scriptures. God loves each of us. As my dad used to say to me, He doesn't put up with no foolishness. So each of us should take serving our Father very seriously, which is an important point. Young men, I'm talking about under 18, and you're still at home, you better take very seriously respecting your father. Because a child that grows up not respecting his earthly father will not respect his heavenly father. And when you show disrespect to your earthly father, you are showing disrespect to your heavenly father. Because our heavenly father is one that under the old law and the new law, he says to honor father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. Earthly fathers, our Heavenly Father does not tolerate disrespect for a moment. Neither should you. Disrespect should be handled swiftly. Being a father is to be honored. Our Heavenly Father loves us, and He is gracious to us so that we do not perish. Instructing us, the text says, God doesn't want us to continue to live in sin. God doesn't want us to continue to do what's wrong. So God instructs us. He teaches us. And He does that through His Word. You ever notice the passage in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, what it says? Paul says, I now commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word of His grace, the word of His sweetness, the word of His attractiveness, the word of His favor. So what is God telling us? God is telling us exactly how we ought to live our lives so that we can go to heaven. That's what the Word of God is about. That's what we gather each time we assemble at this place. We assemble here to study that Word of His grace. We need that study. We need that learning so that we can know how to behave ourselves and do what's right. We need instruction. Earthly fathers, so do your children. Your children need instruction from their father. So many fathers have given that responsibility to the mothers. And not that mothers are not responsible for teaching and encouraging their children. They are. But it is the fathers that God gives first and primary position. How many times, fathers, do you sit down and you talk to them about the word of His grace? The Word of God teaches us negatively to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Grace helps against evil. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 9, this is what John says to help us to understand sin. And he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many times do our children deny that they did anything wrong? Did you do that? No. And there's no consequence. Did you know what God says to us as His children? If you confess it, I will forgive it. Parents, teach your children to confess it. There's consequences when they don't. We learn from our Father, grace is extended to those who confess it. Do we extend that grace to our children when they confess it? May I suggest to us that our Heavenly Father also teaches us positively. Notice He says to live sensibly and righteously and godly. And what is interesting about that, the word sensibly has to do with grace that is extended to us personally. Sensibly. With good sense. When you live sensibly, when you live right, how does a person live sensibly? When you know what's right and wrong, when you know the way to go, and you've been taught by your earthly father, you've been taught by your heavenly father, you can have good sense to make good judgments in how to live your life every day. Doing the right thing. Not doing dumb things. Not doing sinful things. But using good judgment. Grace helps with that. Grace also helps in regards to others, and that is living righteously. Righteously, how you deal with other people. This world, we are in constant contact with other people. We need to treat them rightly. God's grace teaches us that. And then this last one, godly. The word godly has to do with that life that we live in regards to our relationship with God. Godliness is like unto God. So, our children should understand the sacrifice that they must make for God. Putting God first. Parents, do you want your children to go to heaven? When they're 18 and they leave home, do you want them to go to church? Do you want them to serve the Lord? And when the Lord returns, do you want to hear God say to your children, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Then teach them the grace of God. Show them in your life your appreciation for God. Most parents are expecting their children to be perfect when you as a parent leave them no example of what is perfect and what is right. The grace of God teaches the responsibility as fathers to teach your children, to raise your children in what? In the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In this present age, God's grace teaches us it makes an eternal difference how we live our life now. Young people, when are you going to live for the Lord? Well, that's something old people do. When I retire, I'll start living for the Lord. That's not what God's grace teaches. God's grace teaches that you live your life for God now. We've been studying on Sunday evenings the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now the Creator, your Creator, in the days of your youth. God didn't say wait till you become 30 before you start serving the Lord. What about the sins you committed when you're 16? You need to serve and honor your father now. You need to be obedient to your father now. Can you imagine growing up in a household and you disrespect, you disregard, you dishonor your earthly father? Then when you're 30 years old, you say, well, now I'm going to start serving you, Father. Now I'm going to start honoring you. That's not how it works. It doesn't work that way spiritually either. The Word of God teaches us that we obey His grace in this present world. Now. Looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. Did you know He's coming back? He's coming back. Turning your Bibles, or excuse me, turning your song books to 205. Song 205. You can't talk about God's amazing grace and not sing the song Amazing Grace. So let's sing just a couple of verses here. 205.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Isn't that a beautiful song? That's one of the great songs of all time. Amazing Grace. What did you learn about the Father today? His grace is amazing, is it not? His favor, it's unmerited. It's undeserved. I don't deserve His favor. I don't deserve His sweetness. But I'm going to tell you what kind of Father we have. He loves me anyway. Fathers, go home and show grace to your family. Show favor to your family. Show sweetness to your family. Be a father like your heavenly Father. That's a tall order. That is a major tall order. This morning, there may be one here who's not Christian. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Do you not know that the loving kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Think about it. As we sing this song of encouragement, Think about how good God has been to you. But you need to also think about how sinful you've been. And be thankful for a God who will love you anyhow. And His grace is extended to you. He will not forgive you in your sins and you continue to live the way you're living. You have got to change. But He'll forgive you. He'll receive you back. He is amazing grace will be extended to you. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you